Right back on 96.5, The Fan, on your airwaves, on your podcasts, and on your television or your smartphone, Twitch, YouTube, available. You can find our show live streaming with our beautiful faces. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Leggins with you here on a Tuesday. From the 816, Dusty, tell us you live alone without telling us you live alone. I miss those days. I love my wife, but you know.
Well, what days do you miss? Unloading the dishwasher days? Is that what we were?
Yeah. Some of you made me never want to have kids.
No, it's wonderful. Like, there are long,
the guy says
long
having
days,
boys,
man,
sucks because they pee and miss the toilet and you got to clean that area and it's the worst place on the world.
Yeah, try having girls who don't clean anything. Like, kids are kids, and, you know, I was thinking about it the other day. Like, I'm down to 4.5 years now, roughly, of my kids until they're both out of the house. Mm. And that makes me sad. Like, it's gone so fast, and, you know, they're going to be 14 and 15 this year. And so, you know, one's a freshman in high school, one's in eighth grade, or we got a big game today, California Trail versus Pioneer Trail, Prairie Trail, PT, for the city championship in middle school football. And then that part of life is done. It's just like, it goes so fast. So the days are long, as they like to say, but the years are short, and embrace cleaning up that pee around the toilet, right? Because there's going to be a time where you're like, damn, I miss when they would pee on the toilet. You know, I miss my kids. I want them back. So Taylor Swift made that big announcement today. Somebody quote tweeted her that Pop Crave thing and said, tomorrow's concert will be a bullpen game.
Yeah. You missed that earlier. She went on the Today Show or Good Morning America and talked about a new announcement. She's just putting together a cluster album with a book and a vinyl, all on November 29th. And then if you missed it earlier, we were having a conversation about the moon this morning. In the 816, let us know. Moon has an elliptical orbit, and right now it will be closer to the Earth than normal.
Oh, cool. That's why it looks so big.
Correct. Something that...
Is that Taylor Swift gift pack sold out already?
Pre-sale? I mean, I'd be surprised. I would like to see the numbers on that pre-sale. This was New York radio spitting straight facts about the NFL and yours truly, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Seattle stinks.
I mean,
they do.
Talk about moving the goalposts.
By the way, everybody stinks.
That I agree with. Like, Kansas City's the only really good team.
Are they?
Then the Ravens.
Are they?
The Chiefs? Oh, yeah. No, the Chiefs
just
are
just because they win doesn't mean they're a really good team. Yeah. They're undefeated, but they're not great.
They're the best of the
best. Watch their game.
They're I believe great. In my soul that I'm onto something here.
WFAN yesterday, Tiki Barber and others kind of talking about it. They're the best team in the NFL. And again, I'm not afraid to be a homer on this one and admit fact. I mean, what we're watching right now with this football team, they're better than everybody else in this league. I mean, a lot of us watched the game last night, right? Buffalo and the Jets with intrigue. And I felt myself going back and forth of who to root for in this one. Like, if the Jets won, it would have been better because the Bills would have been 3-3. But then I'm like, let's get rid of the Jets and Aaron Rodgers and make this thing, you know, go away. And that's kind of where they are at 2-4 right now. They're holding on for dear life. But to hear somebody other than Bob Fesco out of the market say the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL and there's no hesitation makes me feel good. Like, I'm just not being a homer. That comes from, you know, 1,000 miles away. And they're looking at it from 1,000-mile view going, yeah, the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL. And they are the best team right now in the NFL. Not because they're 5-0, but because they can win games on special teams. We've got the best kicker right now in the NFL. He's kicking better than Tucker is right now, right? We've got the best quarterback coach combination in the NFL. And we, I think, got the best defense and the best defensive coordinator in the NFL. We talk about Andy Reid and that coach quarterback combination. What about the coach, you know, middle linebacker combination with Nick Bolton, or the coach defensive back combination, or the coach defensive line combination that we have with Spags and everybody on that defense right now? So not only do we have great players on both sides of the football, we have great minds running both sides of the football right now, and special teams too. Like, they're just the best team in the NFL.
A little bit of breaking news out of the NFL. The Jets have given Hassan Reddick and his reps a short window to seek a trade, per sources.
Oh.
His new representation, Drew Rosenhaus, has been reaching out to teams over the last 12 hours.
Sure,
to
Drew's
gauge
calling
interest.
Everybody.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I bet he's called Detroit every 30 minutes.
Drew again!
Yep. Hey, you guys just lost a guy. Need a guy? Got one guy.
Got a guy for you.
Yeah.
Or he's calling Pittsburgh and going, you know, TJ's going to get hurt at some point.
Right. He always does. But no, It's really interesting because the Chiefs, what I hear from a lot of people, which I heard it yesterday at the barbershop, I heard it the other day at a get together with friends, and they said, I never thought I'd see Marty Ball again.
Oh, God.
Right? And you think about it, they're running the ball to keep possession, and they're playing really good defense.
Really good defense.
The only difference is Marty Ball's won championships. with this team. Because I think last year, essentially, after the Raiders game, that's what they converted to. They had one wide receiver. Now they had a tight end. And they had a running back they were giving the ball to 20 times a game.
You know what? We don't have to go out there and score a lot of points. Our defense is very good.
Every game, 17-0, right. Middle fingers to the other sideline, and not worry.
Not
because
worry.
At the end of the day, we're just here to stack championships and wins.
Right.
We don't care anymore if it's 57-21. That didn't win us a championship. That got us to a championship and then made it, and then we lost it.
Mm-hmm.
And it got us to an AFC championship game that we lost because we ran into a team that was like, you know what? We'll have more balance. And I think that's the greatest thing about this 5-0 team is that last week kind of looked like the offense kind of had an uptick in what they used to look like, right? Juju had 130. Travis Kelce was balling in the first half.
Yeah.
Kareem Hunt looked like he really had figured out how to run in this offense, had over 100. Juju over 100, whatever. Travis had his game. And it was like, okay, that looked a lot like the Chiefs games at the end of the season last year, which was simple, easy, positive.
And sometimes keep it simple, stupid, right? There is that saying, K-I-S-S, and that's working right now for the Chiefs. I think nice hair by Aaron Rodgers. What was that, his third grade photo? Like, what is going on with that part on Aaron Rodgers' head? I think we're harder on the Chiefs.
Right,
not like that, dude. Oh, okay. That guy looks like a total dweeb who's ready to have like a thumbtack on his chair in Miss Johnson's class.
I think he looks good.
Do you? Oh, yeah. God. I think he looks ridiculous.
He looks like he's about to say, you like the way you look, I guarantee it.
He looks like he's ready to like teach a class, or I don't know what he's ready to do in that video. But anyway, I think we are harder on the Chiefs and expect more out of the Chiefs than anybody else outside the country right now. And that's just logic. Like, we're harder on our kids and, you know, whatnot and that kind of stuff. And we expect more. I think that's kind of where we are with the Chiefs. I think people inside Kansas City fret like the unfrettable when it comes to the Chiefs. I'm sure people are fretting, I don't know, the fact that we don't have Rashee Rice or we don't have Hollywood Brown right now, instead of embracing the fact that, you know what, this team just knows how to win and they are the best team in the NFL. Like, we spend too much time inside 435 wringing our hands about, you know, what's going to happen with the Kansas City Chiefs. And meanwhile, you get an outside perspective and it really does hit at home when somebody else is going, you know what, they're the best team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Just watch what they're doing. They're going to continue to show that they're the best team in the NFL. And it's okay to admit that, and it's okay to accept that. You don't want to rest on your laurels, as they like to say, and you can always get better, obviously. Mm-hmm. But through 6 weeks of the season, the first trimester of the season's over,
there we go.
The Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in the National Football League, and it's not even close, in my opinion.
Yeah, they went from the Golden State Warriors to the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, and they still win.
And you know what the common narrative is? Those teams dominated.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you like it or not, whether it's flashy or not, whether it moves the needle for you, it doesn't matter because they're 5-0 and there's only one other team that's 5-0 and it's Minnesota.
And the only thing that matters is holding that Lombardi trophy and we're dead on course. Now, could the Golden State Warriors become the Spurs and still win, or could the Spurs become Golden State and still win? I don't know that that's the case.
Right.
But the Chiefs have the ability to be that chameleon and be this running team, this conservative, if you will, offensive team, because they got this dominating defense. Then they also have the ability to turn it on and go up over the top and beat your ass that way, too.
And the rest of the NFL is mad because the Chiefs are continuing to win. Look, you had your shot last year to win a Super Bowl. The Chiefs gave you the entire season. So go do it. Go. Don't let us win it. And you didn't do it.
You didn't do it.
Unfortunately, it is what it is. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. Bob Fesco said at the first trimester of the season that Chris Jones was the MVP. There's a reason why. We'll defend it on the other side with some statistical. What?
What?
Testicle? Statistical? Some statistical evidence here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Who's having sex with Jerry Jones?
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Back live on many ways to be found. Twitch, YouTube, 96.5 FM. Was it 6:10 a.m.? That's still one of those things,
yeah,
but don't go to that one. It's not as clear and
people are loving the new signal being on the FM. I hear about it just about every day. You guys sound great. Talk to my guy Mike at the J every day. Love the show. It sounds good. I'm like, good, man. Appreciate it. Talk to one of the guys down the hallway, Ponch. He's like, I love listening to you guys on the FM.
I can actually listen to Cody and Gold. That's a joke. I just see Cody, so I thought I'd say that.
That's funny.
No, it is really good, especially listening to like Royals games.
Yeah. Chiefs games.
Chiefs games.
All of that. All the games.
Colorado games.
Yeah. Where do you think this guy Hassan Reddick is going to wind up?
Detroit.
Yeah, that's kind of what everybody's thinking, right?
Just too easy, right?
The Jets have granted him and his new agent, Drew Rosenhaus, permission to explore a trade. Thanks, Jets. Like, you talk about it, just a colossal fail, right? As of right now. Now, maybe they get two first-round draft picks that they'll screw up back in return. I don't know, but Detroit seems like the logical landing spot for him right now.
Is Amari Cooper a Chief by the end of October?
God, I'd love so.
It always seems when you think you know diddly poo.
You don't know anything, yeah. It's like, remember, they have $4 million, roughly, according to Spot Rack, to get him through the rest of the year.
Which I don't know what Amari Cooper would cost for a year.
But, 1 point something.
Yeah, but then, you know, less money, like somebody gets hurt. But as the weeks go on, it's less and less money. So, again, we have 3 weeks from today, I believe, is the trade deadline, right? Yeah,
that is it.
So as more teams start to fall out of the race and admit they suck, then you'll have more of a pool of guys that are available. I had somebody float me yesterday, Odell Beckham Jr. And I'm like, no, I'm out of that. And it was nobody in the league or anything like that. Just, you know, conversation I was having with some friends or whatnot. Like, what about Odell? I'm like, why do we fall into the malaise of Odell Beckham Jr. all the time? Like, that's guy's got a name. Let me go get him. And Odell Beckham Jr. to me, I don't know if that really does much for you, you know, at this point in time. Obviously, you're probably going to look at the wide receiver market. There's no question about it. But, you know, again, you have about $4 million to get you through the rest of the year. How much do they want to spend on that? Or how much can they say, sorry, Andy and Patrick, you guys are so good at what you do. Go make everybody else better. We don't have the funds. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see.
I think DeAndre Hopkins is a really interesting name. Titans lost again. It was a huge loss to the Colts, 17-20. They had that game. That team is done, cooked. Hopkins is cheap.
They were done and cooked before the year started.
Of course. But
the side of mayonnaise.
They have to know this, right? The teams, and I think they finally know this.
But do they?
I think so.
Are they accepting that? Because once you wave the white flag, there's no going back. Mm-hmm. You're telling your fan base, you're telling your organization. As a head coach, you're now officially putting kind of yourself on watch, even though he's in his first year. It doesn't matter in the NFL. They're going to be in the market for a quarterback this offseason.
Yes.
The Giants are going to be in the market for a quarterback this offseason. Start to look at those teams that you believe are going to be in the market for a quarterback this offseason. Scour their damn roster.
Exactly.
I think the Giants have a lot of wide receivers
they
could potentially part with. I think the Giants are a good football team with the exception of their quarterback, and it makes them an unwatchable bad football team. And I think the same thing kind of goes with the Tennessee Titans. I don't think they're a horrible football team,
either.
But their quarterback makes them an unwatchable, horrible football team.
It's crazy.
And it's interesting because would you be upset? Okay. Doesn't matter if they don't make a move whatsoever.
Oh, me? You're asking the wrong guy because I don't care. I'm good where the team is right now. But if they wanted to go out and get Amari Cooper or DeAndre Hopkins, great. That makes you better as a team on paper, right? You get more, you know, more veteran presence, more weapons, more guys that you can rely on. I wouldn't have a problem with that, but I'm not sitting here pining for it because it's hard to make a trade. And number two, like, a lot of these teams that we're talking about are AFC teams as well. Cleveland, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Do you want to make somebody in your conference better? And especially the Chiefs. Like, I know, like, Brett Veach shows up to the party and he's like the, you know, the number one quarterback showing up to the party and all the girls flock towards him and all this kind of stuff. Veach rolls in and people are like, oh, Brett's here again. Son of a gun. None of
Damn
us
it.
Stand a chance.
I don't necessarily know if they're in dire needs to get anybody.
I don't either, yeah.
Because of what the team is. And you had mentioned this yesterday, and that's why it you know, we have this topic in here, that this may be the best defensive team in football, maybe the best defensive team the Chiefs have ever had. And maybe ever had a stretch.
I don't, but, you know, again, comparing them to those 60s teams, it's hard to do. I don't know. You know, they were all Hall of Famers. You can compare them to the 90s with DT. I feel like this team may have more playmakers than that defense did with DT and Neil Smith and Mark Collins and those guys. Like, this defense has got stars at every level.
And Spags.
This defense reminds me a lot of, to give it a cross parking lot comparison, of the 7th, 8th, 9th for the Royals during 14-15. Buckle up. The reason why I say that is because they're currently 4th against the run. Right? When the Royals bullpen came in, they had what? Like a 3-2 lead or a 1-0 lead or a 2-1 lead. And no matter what you thought who you were playing, it didn't matter. You told everyone, get us the lead to the seventh, and the game is over.
Game is over. And the other teams believe that, too, because right. They all said, we got to do it in the first six or we're effed.
I mean, I remember literally doing an interview with Cotrero this year from the dugout before a game. He was answering media questions, and he was talking about it was before the 14 team came for their 10-year anniversary. And he's like, look, we hated it. We were in the other dugout when he was with Cleveland. He's like, we look over there, and we knew it was over if we were down by a run or two in the seventh inning, definitely if it was three. And
puts a lot of pressure on the other team to score in six innings, too.
No doubt. And the Chiefs are the fourth best team against the run, allowing 88 yards a game. They're fourth or fifth, however you want to look at it from a yardage perspective. They give up 88.4 yards per game. They're sixth in points allowed, and they're seventh in total yards.
The points allowed is the main thing, and being top 10 in points allowed. Like, people talk about, you know, if you have a good offense, you can't have a good defense. Chiefs have both right now, man.
They've only given up over 20 points once this year. That was week two to Cincinnati. They scored 25.
Yeah.
Week one, 20 points to Baltimore, and then 17 points to Atlanta, 10 points to the Chargers, 13 points to New Orleans.
All teams that are good football teams, that allegedly.
That supposedly have good offensive teams.
Right.
Not only that, the common denominator that all those teams have are running backs. Derrick Henry ran for a season low 43 yards or 44 yards against the Chiefs in that first game. Cincinnati, Chase Brown, not really what their main focus was. But Atlanta, Bijan Robinson didn't even show.
37 yards, I think he had that
right.
day.
Chargers, J.K. Dobbins, nothing.
Nowhere to be found.
New Orleans and Alvin Kamara,
zero.
Nothing. And now they're going to play a team that has their third running back starting, who I don't know who that is unless Mason's going to play, but he had the AC joint in his shoulder, which is an interesting topic. But not only that, like, all that's important.
You don't need your shoulder to be a running back.
All that's important with where they're at with defense. And that's why I think you look at Chris Jones being, you know, the MVP of the trimester because of what he's done up front and being able to just stop the run. You just will not run the ball against the Chiefs. So you parlay that sort of defense where they just do not allow rushing yards. Not only that, you put together what I said was the MVP, which is Trent McDuffie, because he's getting coverage sacks as well as just not allowing any wide receiver one. You go down the same list and you think about wide receivers on those teams, right? Like Chris Olave, great, right? You look at Atlanta, Drake London, good. Cincinnati, Jamar Chase, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Baltimore, Zay Flowers. If you think Zay Flowers isn't good, look what he did this last week in the first
Zay
half.
Zay Flowers, they're talking about being one of the triplets now out there and
he's
saying that's why they have the best offense in Baltimore. Zay Flowers can flat out freaking
play.
It's
only his second year, and he's only going to get better. But the key stat to me in this defense is that they're only allowing 5.6 points in the second half of games.
That's right there, your analogy to those guys in the 7th, 8th, and 9th.
If you don't have the lead going into the third quarter, the game is over.
Essentially, if you don't score on that first drive where the Chiefs are always figuring things out from a defensive standpoint,
that's where they're only giving up points.
That's the only thing, is that first drive of the game. And that's fine. They're going to figure some things out. Okay, this is what you want to do. Fine, we'll fix it, and you'll be off to not scoring again. So, yeah, if you don't score a touchdown on that first drive now against Kansas City, the odds of you getting points in that game are very low. Very low, because they just find a way to D up and shut down the opponent. And I love that second half stat there. 5.6 points
allowed
in the second half on average.
Yeah.
You're just not winning games that way.
Last week against 2 weeks ago against New Orleans, they had 6 points in the second half.
The opponents are just not winning.
Right. The game was 16-7 at half. That game's over. According to the stats.
Yeah.
5.6. 16-7, that game's over. The next week they played the
Chargers.
Because
even if they get 6 points or 7 points, you're still behind.
Correct.
You know? Yeah.
You look at the next week, they played the Chargers. Shut them out. They got 10 points in the first quarter. 10 points. They were up 10-7 at halftime.
And maybe the only reason they got points was because of turnovers, too.
And they were up 10-7 at halftime, and Carson Steele's fumble led to a touchdown. Right? Chiefs scored 10 in the second half. The Chargers didn't score again the rest of the game after having 10 in the first quarter.
In the first quarter.
Right. Yeah. And part of it was out of their control because of an early fumble.
Right.
The Atlanta Falcons.
And an interception.
You go to the Atlanta Falcons game. Atlanta scored 3 points in the second half. It was 14-13 at half, Atlanta. They didn't score again. They weren't up by more than five. They didn't score. They got shut out in the second half. And then the Cincinnati game, 26-25, most points they've allowed all season long. 9 points in the second half.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, if you're not if you're not in the lead by a touchdown or more going into halftime, it's probably over.
You're done.
Because it's just been locked down. And again, they're fourth against the run or fifth against the run, giving up 88 yards a game, meaning that teams aren't able to control the time of possession because they can't run. So they're basing it on the pass. Well, we've defined what we said. When they pass, there's pressure, there's coverage, and it just doesn't work. This is, to me, what we are witnessing as of right now through 6 weeks of an NFL season. This is the best team this on defense this franchise has ever had.
It's trending that
and
way.
Maybe I'm caught up in the moment, and I apologize if I am, because I know those 90s defenses were good. My dad tells me about them all the time. I know that defense back in the 69, 70 year when they had all those Hall of Fame linebackers and defensive players. I know that defense was great too. Lanier, Bell, Buchanan, I get it.
I mean,
trust me.
It's a who's who of dudes.
That's a great defense. And yeah. I know I wasn't around, and that's unfair to maybe some of you that were. But by God, in a league where offense has absolutely started to strive, and they're giving up an only total of 5 points, not even a touchdown in the second half on average through five games played, and they played teams like Baltimore, Cincinnati, Atlanta, the Chargers, and New Orleans.
All legit good teams going into the year.
I mean, that's a stat that sticks out on the page, because that lets me know that you get 15 plays, you get one half, and even if you are up by 14, then you get to flip the script, and what is Mahomes when he's down by 10? Ungodly.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
You have a double-edged sword of this team that's just done it right with how they've drafted and who they put in certain positions, to where it's like, well, Travis is down. Yeah, well, it's Chris Jones's time.
But see, this is a team, right? Like, and I know as we were talking a little bit yesterday, and you start to hear what people are saying nationally, everybody still judges teams based on their offensive weapons. And that's futile, because there's 53 men on the roster. You can win in this league having a good defense. You can win in this league having a good running game. You can win in this league having a good head coach. You don't have to light up the scoreboard and throw for 500 yards and 50 points every single time you go out there. No. There are other ways to skin a cat, as they like to say. And the Chiefs have found multiple ways to win these games. And to back up your point about you saying this is the best Chiefs defense of all time, I will say this. When you start to look at the eras in which you play, it's harder to win an NFL game today than it's ever been before. The athletes are better. It's a full-time job now. Back in the 60s, guys were working at the lumber company and TV stations and whatnot to make ends meet. It wasn't a full-time job. You're playing in a league now that is a geared to be an offensive league. All the penalties are in place to benefit the offense. And guys are bigger, faster, stronger. It's harder to win today than it was yesterday in the NFL, just because advancements and all that kind of stuff. So I don't think you're wrong by saying it's the best Chiefs defense because of the era in which we play. I do believe it is harder to win in all sports. Mm-hmm. It is harder to win today than it was yesterday. And it will be harder to win tomorrow than it is today, just because of the advancements and everybody improving and getting better and finding new ways to do things. So yeah, I think what we're looking at right now is a team that you could say, if you just want to look at the stats, it may not tell the whole story either. They're winning and they're playing great defense in an era where the league has made it almost impossible for you to go out there and be a good defensive team.
Yeah, go look at the numbers of the running backs they've gone against, right? This has been the year of the running back, I would say. I mean, J.K. Dobbins is lighting everybody up when they play him. Bijan Robinson, not so much, but he's like a dual threat. Alvin Kamara put 4 touchdowns up against Dallas, blew him out. Mm-hmm. Dallas couldn't stop the run. Derrick Henry.
And stopping the run is a want to as well. That's a real, right? Like, put your hand in the dirt, you know, blood coming off your nose. Like, you got to want to stop the run. That's not finesse. That's being a tough son of a gun in the trenches, stopping the run, making plays, sacrificing your body, not playing with any fear. It's hard to stop the run. And now, as the weather turns and it gets colder, teams are going to want to run the football more. And if the Chiefs continue to play this style of run defense, they may not give up points again for the rest of the season.
And that, to me, is why I think this is the equivalent of the Royals bullpen. Because some people would say that the Royals bullpen has been the best bullpen since the Reds bullpen that had those three?
The Nasty Boys.
The Nasty Boys. That's what they always get compared to.
Yeah.
And you think of the generational gap between all of those. And you allow 5.6 points in the second half. You're only giving up the 7th most total yards in the league, 6th most points. You put all that together, I know the DVOA nerds will be like, Chiefs are the number one defense in the league. And I think what's pulverizing by this, which is confusing a lot, which gets us to our next one, why I think the Chiefs are confusing is because what we just said earlier. They went from being the Golden State Warriors to being the boring San Antonio Spurs, but the one thing stays the same.
They consistently win,
and they win the championships.
That's all that matters.
Are there teams out there that honestly confuse you in the NFL that not in the same way the Chiefs confuse you?
I don't know. I look around this league, and everybody's pretty much what they are. What confuses me in Philadelphia is it the coach or the quarterback? I tend to think it's the coach.
I believe that.
You know, in Philadelphia, I think it's the coach, not the quarterback right now. In Philadelphia, but I'm really not confused by anybody. I mean, like, so you could say Cincinnati, but Joe Burrow's dealing with a wrist injury, man. Like, if your quarterback's dealing with a wrist injury and can't throw the football, well, then you're 2-4 for a reason.
And their defense blows.
And their defense, and yeah, blows. I mean, they're not good. So to look around this league and go, oh, my God, I'm shocked by this team. Maybe I'm shocked how bad Jacksonville is. But not really. I mean, like, I thought they'd be better going into the season, but once ATM fumbled that football out of the end zone, the season was over. You can't be shocked by the Dolphins. They lost their quarterback.
Pittsburgh confuses me.
I'm a Mike Tomlin truther, so I'm like,
are they good or are they beating bad teams and they're playing all the teams that are bad? Or I just don't know, because, like, Justin Fields looks different. But he looks the same.
But
that makes
sense. Powered by their defense in such a big way.
Sure.
Like, I mean, they have the Mahomes of defense and TJ Watt, you know? Yeah.
Arizona's confusing.
Cardinals are very confusing.
Because, like, it's like why you don't believe in Kyler. It's like 1 or 2 weeks in a row, it's like, okay, this is the quarterback. And then all of a sudden, it's like, that's the Kyler we see a lot of, too.
But that's also why he's a coach killer, because you get caught in these, oh, my God, look how good he is. But the big picture is, if you're inconsistent at the quarterback position, I got to bounce from you, man. I need somebody that's going to be consistent.
Mac, anybody confusing to you outside of the
Broncos?
Broncos.
Denver Broncos are very confusing. 3 weeks in a row, their defense looks like not good, great, top 10, great, 3 weeks in a row, which is something that's a sizable, you know, amount of time
in the
NFL.
And they did it against Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly. Like, doing it against real guys, and then last week they just can't even stop the Chargers, who are like on offense.
Did Surtain get hurt this past week?
Did he get hurt in the game?
I thought I saw him.
That's
go
a huge
to the
injury. I mean, obviously that's massive. That's their Mahomes of their defense. So yeah,
that's their McDuffie.
I don't understand them. And then Bo Nix has looked good for a couple weeks, and these last 2 weeks has looked horrendous. That's a rookie quarterback, but just still, I don't understand that team. Titans confusing as well.
Why?
Because if you look at every defensive number besides one nerd in Nashville trying to make L'Jarius Sneed seem bad, which is just a fallacy that is false. He's been fantastic this season. Every defensive number, they are top 10, if not top 5, if not first in yards, points, all this stuff. Like, it's,
and they're really good on defense, but their quarterback is as bad as they can. I mean, he's not Daniel Jones, but he's bad.
But he's just dumb. Like, I'm not saying
he makes dumb plays.
Oh,
no,
he makes terrible plays.
There's a
video circulating Titans Twitter right now of the offseason. I think Peyton and Eli were doing some quarterback conference, and they're talking to quarterback, young guys. And Will Levis's question is, all these guys are asking questions like, hey, under center, what do I do to process this? Hey, in this scheme, Will Levis, hey, so what's your guys' advice on, like, doing commercials and really selling yourself and branding yourself?
That's all I need to know about that guy.
There we go.
And he likes mayo a little too much.
That guy needs to go. You can't have your organizational quarterback worried about doing commercials.
You got Peyton and Eli in front of you. Like, ask them anything. Hey, what commercials do you think I should be doing?
Yeah, nobody knows who you are, Levi's. You know, go back and put some mayonnaise in your coffee and play on the field, and then we can worry about commercials. Like seriously, that's a problem.
Is he one of those athletes you're done watching? Like, you don't watch that anymore?
Yeah, I think I'm done. Yeah,
I'm done with Daniel Jones. I can't watch that guy play anymore. I mean, it really is. It's a travesty watching him play quarterback. So I mean, it is a travesty.
Would you rather watch Daniel Jones play or Rake the Leaves?
Break the Leaves. At least I get some exercise in.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair. It's Deshaun Watson and Phil Mickelson.
There's not enough booze in the world that can make me watch Daniel Jones play a full game. I mean, it's just awful.
We'll have a full report of the next Giants game here on Fesco and Dusty on a Monday morning. You are listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Phil Mickelson, huh?
Yeah, it's cringy. He's greasy.
He's snake-like.
He tries too hard. He's like, I drink a special coffee and I hit bombs. I'm like, Phil, come on. Nobody watches the CW, which is what lives on. So.
What is he, that guy from the Little League World Series? Who was that kid a few years ago?
Oh, yeah.
My name's Big Joe and I hit dingers.
Big Al.
Oh, Big Al.
Big Al.
Yeah.
Because at least Big Al's funny.
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson looks like he owes somebody 10 grand, but he's figuring out ways to get back to somebody
else.
He's
kind of like Russell Wilson cringeworthy.
I don't know.
That's another good one. I haven't had to watch him this year, but I'm done.
Phil Mickelson just looks like he smells like Old Spice aftershave and like definitely gets up and irons everything in his whitey tidies.
You know, there's no question that Russell Wilson right now probably falls into that category for Mike Tomlin. I'm done watching you play. Oh, you go stand over there with your eye black.
He's like that old Aflac commercial where he's got the old man. He's like, "You want the dollar?
Right.
Come get it." He's like trying to think that he's going to start at quarterback. "You want to come get it? Come get it."
I love that commercial.
Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology. It's the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Find us on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter. You can watch this show. You can listen to this show. We ask you a question. What is one thing you wish you could experience again for the first time all over again? I just feel like sex is going to take over the text line. 913-586-7965. What is one thing you wish you could experience for the first time all over again? Mac, Bob, Dusty, you're listening to 96.5 The Fan. It's your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
I don't know who we like making fun of more. Aaron Rodgers, Jerry Jones, Daniel Jones,
yeah,
Indiana Jones, 5-6.
Boy, Jerry Jones losing it on our sister station in Dallas this morning.
Oh, this is a drop from, I guess it was yesterday when he was asked about coaching change.
Oh, I haven't even considered that. I'm not considering that. You're clear. I'm not considering that.
But you've done it.
I wouldn't be a hypothetical in that matter. Do you think I'm an idiot? Do you?
Do you?
Okay, well, I'm not going hypothetical with you about when I'd consider coaching change in light of the timing we're sitting here with. I'm not at all.
Okay, so Jerry Jones, that was Sunday.
That was Sunday.
So he went on our sister station, 105.3 The Fan, this morning, and some guy named John Machado, who covers the Dallas Cowboys for The Athletic, tweeted this out, quote, They asked him about Jerry Jones got defensive when asked about not making more moves in the offseason. Quote, "This is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions. I'm not kidding. You're not going to figure it out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this NFL meeting I'm going to today with 32 teams here, you geniuses. You really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong without going over the rights? Listen, we both know we're talking to a lot of great fans, a lot of great listeners, and I'm very sorry for what happened out there Sunday. I'm sick about what happened out there Sunday. One of the stupidest things I've ever done that anybody had ever done, had ever analyzed, was by the Cowboys. I was an idiot that did that. So idiot, things can turn into good decisions. Smart things can turn into bad decisions. The facts are, when you make one, you don't really know if it's going to be good or not at the time. You want some conversations this morning, you're getting it."
So it gets better.
Oh, it does?
He then said on
105.3 The Fan.
Yeah, The Fan. Yeah. "This is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons."
That's what I said. Yeah,
but then he says, "Yeah, I'll get somebody to ask these questions. I'm not kidding." Yeah, firing.
Yeah.
He's going to get this guy fired.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Who wants
Thanks for listening.
Sorry. I was reading the same thing that you were saying, but it was like worded different. I don't know why, but like.
Wow. So Jerry on his own radio show ripping the host. It's their fault.
Wow.
This is a guy who's melting down right in front of, literally with the plastic face. They melt. You know, you got to be careful in the hot Texas sun.
Gosh. You think he's had more work than Wayne Newton?
No.
I was going to say, that
God,
might be.
No.
That might be like the Mahomes of like facial surgery.
I mean, Wayne Newton, you're like, ooh. God.
So is anybody going to go ahead and have Jerry Jones as their Richard of the Week?
I got a couple of people I'm thinking of for Richard of the Week. Like yesterday, people who wouldn't move out of the way for an ambulance.
What?
Whoa.
Oh, awful.
What?
Like
on the road?
Yeah. We're at an intersection. Like, you got to move out of the way. You pull over, you go the wrong
pull
way.
Forward.
You pull forward, you get out of the way of that ambulance.
I just looked up Wayne Newton and I'm terrified.
Ah, just terrible.
You didn't know Wayne Newton?
No. Who? I don't. I still don't know who it is. I'm just.
He's the founder of the Figs. No, but we did ask a question on the other side. If there's something you could experience again for the first time all over again, what would it be?
Royals parade.
That was tight. That was awesome. I would do it in the same way we did it.
I would not.
I know you would probably take a helicopter and land and go.
No, I would have done the damn show from the parade route.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah. That was
I would have gotten in front of Union Station too. I didn't know. I didn't know they were going to give. I didn't know what was going on. You know.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was wild.
But it was like the only time in my life, because I am very like claustrophobic, and like that was like the only time in my life where I'm like, this is awesome. Like everything was just like in like silent mode.
It was. You're right about the 100% nailed it. You're like, there was no sound.
It's like when you play those video games like Call of Duty, like the Claymore goes off and it's just like, boom. It was just like, I was like looking around. It's like, okay, there's 10,000 people there. There's people on their roofs. There's people in their lofts. Oh my God, here comes Ned Yost in a truck. Like it was just, it was crazy.
Yeah. That's immediately what comes to mind.
Learning how to eat sunflower seeds is pretty up there for me.
Oh, all right.
Because when I was a kid, I would just crunch them and then spit out like a blob of sunflower seeds. And then once I figured out how to do it, I was like, this is awesome. So much so that like the inside of my mouth was like raw.
Yeah, raw from the salt. Yeah,
yeah, it was great. But I mean, I would say probably if I could do something all over again and experience for that first time, it would probably be like Breaking Bad.
It's a great one.
Game of Thrones. From that perspective, or...
Like you'd rewatch it again?
Yeah. Game of Thrones, no. I don't think so. I'm surprised,
because that's like you're a big GOT guy. No,
trust me. Been there. I don't want to be that guy. Books and everything. That or like maybe like my first like baseball game experience. Like sitting down in the seat in the ballpark with the nachos and your family and like hearing Tom Petty's I Won't Back Down with Mike Sweeney throwing ground ball practices to Randa and Baroa and all those guys and like really just like honing in on that, knowing that I didn't have a care in the world other than like if the Royals won or lost, which they probably lost.
Probably lost that game, yeah.
I would say. Mac?
Super Bowl would be pretty good. First Super Bowl was pretty amazing for me.
God, I could have smoked 18 cigarettes that game.
It was incredible.
That was an amazing game.
It was an amazing game. And it's the first is always the best, and we were down 10. And it's just the whole thing. And the Mahomes story of coming back 10 hadn't happened yet, so we really were freaking out. At least I was, and it was.
But that was
a
year that they came back in every playoff game from 10 or more. Right?
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yes.
Hadn't been done yet, except for the three prior games. You know, like, but in a Super Bowl setting, that's really good. But for me, it would be the parade. I would definitely have done the parade differently. Yeah.
From the 816, first day at work. Now I come in here every day. I feel a little dead inside. At least listening to you guys makes it easier. There we go.
Oh, hey, all right. Well, thank you. Yeah.
Richard of the week should be Dusty for reading the exact same thing at the same time that Bob just read.
Way to go.
I don't know what I was thinking there. Oh, God, don't call me that.
I did see some Richard Etz yesterday. I guess it was Sunday. We were out at soccer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's basically for these lots, one and one, full, right?
Yeah.
These two women sat their chairs in an empty spot and saved it for somebody.
Good for them.
Did they have their Stanleys?
No.
Oh, surprising.
They did not. But who does that? You're setting your chairs up in a parking spot to reserve it?
It's trash.
Come on.
Trash.
From the 816, the buzz you get from your first dip. Thanks for texting in, Binkley.
Jay, congratulations.
Shooting my first deer. Huge adrenaline rush at the age of 12.
Wow.
The thrill of now, 35, still gets excited to go hunting.
That's cool. That's cool. Like it never gets old. I like that. I'm not a hunter, but I like the fact that
you could have hit like a 12-point buck at age 12 and be like, well, what's next? You may never get that again.
You could be like Brandon Finnegan and pitch in the College World Series and the World Series in the same year and say, what's next? And 10 years later, still be looking for that.
Someone says, from the 913, I don't know about you, but my first sexual experience wasn't good.
Was anybody's?
Blued myself, not knowing what to do. And I'd say being back at Kauffman in the front row in right field when Kane scored from first in the ALCS.
Oh, you were in the front row for that? Oh, that's cool. I love that. That's awesome.
Joe's Barbecue is on there as well. I wish I could get high again for the first time. Never the same again. Okay. I wish I could experience walking into the K for the first time and seeing the field unfold before me.
Are you old? And I mean, seriously, when I asked that, because I remember, like, growing up, my dad would tell the story, but the first time he went to Yankee Stadium, it was in color. So, because you watch black and white TV, right? And so you imagine that.
Wow.
You've watched all these games on TV, you see, and then you walk in and you see it in color.
That's amazing.
Right? That's wild.
So cool.
How wild is that?
I never thought
right?
about that before.
That's why I ask on the text line, like, were you older and saw these games in black and white? And the first time you went in, you saw it in color. You're like, oh, my God, how cool. Now we don't have that problem.
Nah.
We just
now everything's
we can't
like, oh, I remember
it.
The first time I saw it in 3D. As we do the what's the first thing you can experience for the first time again. We come up on the other side. It is 9 o'clock on a Tuesday, which means we get to our start bench cut here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.